This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays, everyone. Sean Bellent with another edition of Around Montgomery County. One of the more special parts of an otherwise challenging year has been the Montgomery County Bicentennial Celebration, the big celebration taking place at the county fairgrounds over the summer, and of course, those birthday cakes in every town in Montgomery County. That was special. Hated to see them go, but time does march on. Now, the celebration has involved communities shared with other counties like Harville, Donelson, and Panama. Today, we'll take a closer look at a legend whose voice carried far beyond the Bond Montgomery County border. His voice resonated around the world. Famed labor leader John L. Lewis, the president of the United Mine Workers during a transformative period running from 1920 to 1960. Earlier this year, Panama saw additional honors for the local legend with an Illinois State Historical Society marker commemorating the UMWA President and Congress of Industrial Organizations founder. And you can find that at the park that bears his name, John L. Lewis Park at Shoal Creek Avenue and Jefferson Street in Panama. Over the crackling radios, he was a familiar 1930s and 40s voice and newsreel presence. Lewis broke away from the American Federation of Labor and founded the Congress of Industrial Organizations in 1937, launching massive organizing drives that added millions to labor's ranks, launching unions like the United Auto Workers and the United Steel Workers. Later, the AFL and CIO would merge. With those bushy eyebrows and baritone voice, Lewis always had command of a room. Don't take my word for it. Listen for yourself with these words of Lewis before Congress after the Centralia mine disaster of 1947.
If we must grind up human flesh and bones in the industrial machine that we call modern America, then before God I assert that those who consume the coal, and you and I who benefit from that service because we live in comfort, we owe protection to those men first, and we owe the security for their families if they die. I say it, I voice it, I proclaim it, and I care not who in heaven or hell opposes it.
I had a chance to talk to the vice president of the Illinois Labor History Society, Mike Matika, who looked back on the life of John L. Lewis and said his profile in union history is significant.
Yeah, and John L. Lewis was president of the United Mine Workers from 1920 to 1960, and that's when the country ran on coal. So if he called the miners out and did that multiple times over health and safety issues because it was such a dangerous occupation, the whole country knew it because, you know, you needed that coal to heat your house and to cook your supper and to keep the factory going and the locomotive running. So he was powerful in that way. And then also his vision of organizing industrial workers and multiple attempts in this country to organize people by an industry basis. They failed continually. And when he began the CIO, the Congress of Industrial Organizations, in 1937, United Auto Workers, United Steel Workers, something like 7 to 9 million people joined unions in a three-year period from 1937 to 1940. And it was the impetus of his idea of building these mass organizations where wall-to-wall everybody would belong to the same union that, again, put him continually in the national spotlight.
We mentioned that appearance in Congress moments ago. There was no question when John L. Lewis entered, he owned the room.
People from that era, there's probably certain voices they're going to recognize. One would have been President Franklin D. Roosevelt. The other one would have been John L. Lewis. He had a deep voice, a commanding voice, and in newsreel and in radio, and a very stern tone. But he was a Shakespearean and classical scholar, even though he just did a little bit of high school. And he loved to pull these phrases and sayings out of ancient literature and Shakespeare that gave him a gravitas that was more than, hey, here's just a coal miner. Here's a guy who really can command language and command an audience. And again, you know, when was the last time you heard the phrase Balm and Gilead, which comes out of the Bible? And one of his sayings before congressional hearings after the Centralia mine disaster in 1947 was, where is the balm of Gilead for the suffering miner, for the person who's dying in that underground explosion in Centralia, Illinois? So he was able to use language in that kind of way that really dazzled people, whether they liked him or not. There was a very much a commanding presence there.
Lewis moved to Panama from Lucas, Iowa back in 1908, along with his parents and siblings, as they came there for mine work. Employment was easy to find. The mine was massive at that time. Matika says Lewis was not exactly a late bloomer when it comes to making an impact.
Lewis is born in Lucas, Iowa, and he and his brothers and his mom and dad come to Panama in 1908. There's a large coal mine there, and they find work there. And within a year, they have the leadership of the local union. And shortly after that, he's hired by the Mine Workers of Illinois to be their lobbyist in Springfield. So I think people very quickly saw this young man's talent, and he was also very ambitious. He knew how to use his gifts to make things happen, and he knew how to play politics, but he also knew how to resonate the issues and the concerns for the people he represented.
Over his many years heading up the mine workers, Matika said Lewis's impact on mine safety was considerable.
When Lewis is a young man, pre-World War I, the national statistic in 1913 but there are 11 mine deaths a day in the United States. It's that vicious an industry and that unsafe an industry. So it's a continual fight to, number one, get regulation for safety standards, and then also for miners to build their union. If something unsafe is happening the day they go to work, they have the confidence in each other to say, we're not working today until the situation is taken care of. And again, the statistical deaths in that industry are just, it's a very moving story when you start looking at that. And so to have a national champion like John L. Lewis who can grab the stage when there's a national, when there's a mine disaster and say, you know, here's what went wrong here. And here's why we need a law. Here's why we need a safety regulation. And this is before OSHA. OSHA doesn't come till 1971. So he's already dead and gone by the time OSHA comes. But he is out there trying to protect people and make sure they go home in one piece and earn their pay, but not have to give up their life to do it.
Matika talks about the lingering legacy of Lewis in this region.
And then you look again at a place like Panama, which that whole area, actually much of Illinois, south of Joliet, down to the tip of the state, is coal country. And it's a huge, huge industry in Illinois, and people are banding together to stand up for their rights. And you look at the challenges of the last few years of COVID, of people having forced overtime and not being able to enjoy their time off. And some of the battles that are going on right now, some are unionized and some are just people getting fed up with the economic situation and starting to speak up and take a stand. They're carrying on a tradition that John L. Lewis was a real leader and a strong part of.
If you'd like to find out more about the life of John L. Lewis, Matika has some tips.
Well, there's a very thorough academic biography by a historian out of California, you know, called John L. Lewis. by Nelson Lichtenstein, you know, and that's a good book. But I think sometimes just going on YouTube and look up John L. Lewis and just listen to some of the newsreel and film pieces of him testifying and giving speeches, you can really see the power that this man projects and also the hope he's giving people. You know, that here's somebody who's going to stand up and say what needs to be said for working people. So I think just even a little YouTube search and find out a little bit about this guy and listen to that voice and listen to how he delivers his message. You know, you can see that this is a very strong personality, but who's on a mission and really trying to uplift people in the process of fulfilling that.
Well, folks, I've certainly enjoyed a year of soaking in a lot of local history, and Lord knows Jeff Dunn does great work over at the Historical Society for Montgomery County and everyone over at the Historical Society. Thanks for joining me throughout 2021, and I look forward to more great shows in 2022. And they're great, I say, because of the guests. That's a wrap for Around Montgomery County. Sean Blent saying so long until next year on WSMI.